Welcome to Lesson 8, Message Clarity. Imagine for a moment that you and your friends are on a hiking trip. Last night, you camped overnight by a river. You need to cross it to continue your journey. It's early morning and the water is fairly still. There are a few big slippery rocks in the water, but your friends have made this trek before, and crossing shouldn't be a big deal so long as the water stays calm. The weather report indicated the early morning weather would be balmy with a chance of some light fog early on. So you pack your gear and head across the river with your friends. You're in the middle of the pack, and as you take your first steps into the calm, still water, the fog starts rolling in. You see the first of your friends make it across to the shore on the other side, so you're feeling pretty confident. You continue on your way across the river until you realize you can't see the banks of the far shore anymore. The fog has gotten really thick, so you freeze. You turn to look behind you, and you can't see the shore there either. And then you hear voices coming from both sides of the river. "Over here," one voice shouts. "I can see the top of your head. Just keep walking straight," says another. "Watch out, there's a big rock right in front of you." "Turn around, you're going the wrong way." If you're beginning to feel a little frustrated, or maybe even a little scared, imagine how your potential clients must feel as they navigate a river of marketing messages every single day just to find the answers they need on the other shore. When your message is clear, you help your clients and potential buyers filter themselves. They know at an instant whether or not your offers are right for them. They know immediately whether they want to be in your circle of influence or not. They can decide for themselves whether or not they are in alignment with your methods, your worldview, and the kind of world that you're trying to create. We're going to continue to use this river analogy as we look more closely at your customer journey. Before we do, though, let me quickly walk you through the fascinating science of how brains make buying decisions. It'll be quick, I promise. There are essentially two paths, one based on logic, meaningful connection, and ethical use of persuasive triggers. This is the systematic path. The other path is a sort of decision-making shorthand based on our pre-programmed ideas of what is right, good, sexy, fun, etc. That's the heuristic path. Systematic takes more time to turn into a sale, but it also creates more loyal buyers. Heuristic shortens your sales cycle, but it also decreases customer loyalty because people often feel like they were triggered into buying. Think smarmy, icky salespeople who use every scarcity tactic in the book. They're pressuring you based on that heuristic path. That's why if you use heuristic sales tactics, you need to do a lot more follow-up and customer care on average after the sale if you want to keep refund rates low and build repeat customers. Decision-making takes brain power. And obviously, the more decisions you have to make, the more brain power it requires. And this is important for our customer journey. So let's take a quick glance along the customer journey so that you can see what you're dealing with here. Every customer begins their journey at the unaware stage. They're standing by the edge of the river with no idea that they've got an issue, problem, or interest in what you have to offer. They don't even know you exist. If they're not problem aware, they have more thinking to do and are more likely to look for shortcuts, aka the heuristic path. Then they get into the river and realize, uh-oh, I've got a problem. But is there even a solution? Or if you're serving a delight instead of solving a pain point, they're probably saying, uh-oh, I really want this or more of this, but is it even possible to get it? Then as they start looking for options in the river, they become solution aware. Oh, there are lots of possible solutions, and I've probably even tried a few. This is where you start hearing all those voices in the fog. Go this way, no, that way, try Instagram, no, Pinterest, do this, no, that. Okay, at some point, they become aware of you, of your voice. They recognize that you have an offer for them. This stage of the journey is product aware. They know that you are one of those solutions out in the river, and they're considering whether or not you are the right choice for them. Then finally, they make the decision to buy from you, and they are purchase aware. They're saying, okay, You're the one I want to buy from. But you'll notice they're still in the river. Now, why is that? Well, because there's still a couple of little known steps in the buyer journey that have to do with ability. Because desire to buy from you doesn't equate to ability to buy from you. Lots of people may want to buy from you, but they may not be ready or willing to buy on your terms. Once they actually buy, then they have to execute or implement in order to get out of the river. And you may also realize that inside this final step in the journey where they actually make the purchase, that they may decide to float down that river a bit and want or need yet another offer from you before they're ready to step out of the river. Now, eventually, everybody gets out of the river, either because they don't want to work with you anymore, or because they don't have that problem anymore, or because they die, or whatever. But some people will stay in your river for years buying anything you offer because they're your raving fans. So today, we're looking at your messaging, because that is what ultimately gets people into your river and buying from you. We're specifically looking at how to speak to the folks that are unaware or problem aware. Because until they know they have a need, they aren't looking to buy. And until they know you are in the field of possible options for that need, they're not going to buy from you. Now, the good news is that content you create at this stage is about calling out their challenges and the world that you're trying to create. This gives them the opportunity to self-select and invite themselves into your world more deeply. You want to identify what they're feeling, how they're dealing with their challenges, and what isn't working for them so that you can point out other options. Now, where do we get this information? From your values and beliefs. So yay, you have already done that work. You have done that work, right? So now you just have to refine it so that it resonates with your audience. Now, the easiest way to do that is to move from I to you in your language. So instead of saying, I want to live in a world where dot, 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 shift your messaging to, do you want to live in a world where dot, 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 or what if we lived in a world where dot, dot, dot. Begin to share the values and beliefs that are core to the work that you're creating for your audience. For example, if you're a relationship coach, why are you a relationship coach? How do you want the world to be changed after people work with you? What kind of world are you trying to create through the work you do with your clients? If you're a fine artist, why are you a fine artist? Why do you use your chosen media? What is it about the kind of work you create that makes the world a better place? Go back to your list of 50 reasons why and look for evidence of your values and beliefs. If you haven't already, develop a list of your company's top values and beliefs. Now, I won't put a specific number on it for you. It might be 3 or 5 or even 10. I wouldn't think that you want to navigate more than 10. Once you have that list, create a value statement incorporating those values and use it as a measuring stick for all your content and marketing messaging. How are the content you're sharing and the sales messages you're creating measuring up to that value statement? If you find places where you're missing the mark or things that are muddied and unclear when it comes to your values, what's one thing that you can do right now to improve? Anything that's not in alignment with your value statement needs to go. Now, I'm not one for many hard and fast rules, but if you are not consistently clear about who you are, what you do, why you do it, and who you do it for, which can all be found in your values and beliefs, then people will get confused, and a confused mind says no. From your values and beliefs, you'll find an initial audience of people who naturally resonate with those ideals. For example, if you're a Muslim Sufist, it makes sense to speak to people in that community, at least at first. Marketing to a Judeo-Christian audience is going to take a lot more work because you'll have to re-educate that audience before they'll even listen to you. As another example, if you work well with women over 40, don't try to market to 20-year-old guys, at least not at first, because they speak a different language and they respond differently to different kinds of marketing. Build a following with a resonant audience first before you start to expand to a larger, more general market. Most marketing messaging spends too much time talking about how great a program or offer is without creating resonance, that know, like, and trust factor that makes it easier for potential buyers to say yes. If a client is already ready to buy, that kind of messaging is helpful. But 80% of your audience isn't at that stage yet, and they need some warming up with other kinds of messaging first. As a creative, this is about speaking into the worldview that you espouse. If your work is meant to serve an audience, there's a reason why you do what you do, and your audience needs to know about it. We'll spend the entire next lesson drilling down into what really matters to you, which is at the core of why you do what you do. When a potential buyer is midway through the journey, that's when you can talk about your process or go behind the scenes and show your work. And I don't mean giving up your intellectual property, but showing your finished results or client testimonials and some of the steps along the way. Ceramic artist Ian Childers has a firing technique that takes 30 hours. He's been invited all over the world to teach this technique, but he doesn't give up all his secrets. That would probably bore his buying audience anyway. Instead, in his sales messaging, he tells stories of how he used to sleep next to his kiln so that his pieces would turn out just right, because 30 hours is a long time to have to sit and watch a kiln. So find those stories for your audience. Once they're aware of you and they're ready to buy, your messaging needs to focus on reassurance that you're the best choice for them. Now, we'll dig deeper into the final stages of messaging in future marketing cycles. But for now, understand that until people know who you are and what you're about, you're going to have a hard time selling them anything because the trust just isn't there. But if you build a relationship by sharing your values, your beliefs, and how you understand their challenges and struggles, people will start showing up. Your audience will start to grow, and you'll be able to refine your messaging and your audience from there. In our next lesson, we're going to fire up the why part of your business model by taking a closer look at what really matters to you, both as a human being and as a business owner. And I will see you there.